This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Live Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live on the earth, and certainly valuable information, valuable material for anyone on this planet who is concerned about preserving his or her own heritage, way of life, and freedom in the face of Jewish supremacism. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk tonight about hypocrisy. And I'm going to discuss one of the leading Jewish spokesmen, probably the leading apologist for Israel in the United States today, maybe even in the world. And his name, of course, is Professor Alan Dershowitz. I'm going to go into his abject hypocrisy by quoting some of his own words and quoting some of his own words about an organization that can only be defined as an extremist, supremacist, hate organization against Gentiles, but an organization that Dershowitz praises and says not one word of condemnation against. Let me talk about that for a moment. You know, Dershowitz goes around the world decrying anti-Semitism, decrying hatred, decrying any sort of violence or supremacy of whites or any other group, or any sort of hatreds or down-looking, you might say, toward Jews are Jewish people around the world. Now, Dershowitz has a lot of things which just don't really quite make any sense. Of course, when you're trying to defend the Jewish supremacist state of Israel, a state that was created on terrorism, and when you talk about terrorism, Israel itself, of course, was created by terrorism. First, terrorism against the British, who had the mandate in Palestine to drive the British out. The Jewish terrorists couldn't establish Israel, couldn't do what they wanted to against the Palestinian people until they got rid of the British troops, until they got rid of British authority. So they blew up the center of British authority, the King David Hotel. That's right, blew up a major hotel. They assassinated Count Bernadette, who was one of the chief negotiators in the conflict from Europe. They ran a campaign of terrorizing and killing British soldiers. They would string them up with piano wire, torture them to death, and then leave their bodies to try to cause revulsion and try to get the British to leave Palestine, which eventually Britain did. At that point, they launched terrorist activities against the Palestinians. They had massacres at places like Deir Yassin. They wiped whole villages off the map. They caused a general panic among the Palestinians, and they fled with their families in the face of this incredible onslaught of murder and mayhem on the part of the creators, the terrorist creators of the Israeli state. 700,000 Palestinians, at least, were ethnically cleansed, driven out of their own country, away from their homes, from their businesses, from their farms, from places that they and their forebears have dwelled for hundreds of years, perhaps even thousands of years, because even in the Old Testament, it basically says that the promised land was not an empty land. And in the Bible, there are many stories of the genocidal attacks against the residents of those areas in which they settled as the Promised Land. So people were there long before Jewish people were, and people were there long after. The point is that 700,000 people were dispossessed, were cleansed from their land by terrorism. And then, of course, the Israeli state, in order to confiscate the land, because they only owned less than 10% by any standard, by any measure, Israel, the Jews in what became Israel, only owned about 7% of the land area. The only way that they could create this and confiscate and steal this land was to prevent these people from coming back in. Plus, they knew the world wouldn't completely tolerate a Jewish state, which was supposed to hold up the standards of the Balfour Declaration. Remember the Balfour Declaration, which was created during the First World War, which, by the way, was a creation of the Jewish supremacists. What happened was that Britain and the Allies, the war was going pretty bad with Germany during the First World War. In fact, Germany had won their struggle against Imperial Russia, which freed about literally half the army to go to the West. And frankly, the British and the French forces, they were in a very bad situation. And Britain especially had some relations with the international Jewish community. They understood the Jewish community had influence in media and in government. Of course, there were a number of strong Jewish Zionists who actually operated inside the cabinet of Woodrow Wilson. This is a fact of history. Colonel House, for instance, you can't deny these facts. Bedar Baruch, for instance, was a major financier, a very powerful individual in America. He also had a direct line to the White House. And they had a lot of influence in American media even at that time. Nothing like the influence since that time by any means, by any stretch of the imagination, but there was influence. And there was basically a deal struck between the British and World Jewry that if World Jewry would help get the United States into the war against Germany, that they in fact would endorse the creation of a Jewish state in Palestine. Now, in the process, the British drew up the Balfour Declaration. By the way, the man who drew up that declaration was a secret Jew himself, which is kind of interesting. Not Balfour, but the man who drew up the declaration itself. But the declaration called for the establishment of a Jewish state in Palestine. But it also said that the civil rights and the civil, religious, and other rights of the inhabitants of the region would not be threatened, that they would not be taken away, they would not be lost. Of course, that went by the wayside pretty quickly as the Jewish state was established. But on that basis, that was the basis, the first legal basis of the so-called establishment of the Jewish state, if that was in fact legal, because nobody asked the Palestinians about that declaration. And it certainly was a legal act in many, many ways. But anyway, that was the foundation. And ladies and gentlemen, of course, then the Israeli state was established through absolute terror, first against the British and then against the Palestinians, and there was an ethnic cleansing of the state of Israel. This is the facts of the matter. So when people start telling you about how America must oppose terrorism, you know, why didn't we oppose the establishment of Israel? There's no excuse to talk about whatever sufferings Jews faced in Europe. You don't right a wrong by making another wrong by any stretch of the imagination. It was an immoral act that took place in the creation of the state of Israel. It was a heinous act, and it was an act that was in support of a state that was acting and committed terrible terrorist atrocities. Of course, Mr. Dershowitz defends those kinds of actions. Now, Mr. Dershowitz, basically this apologist for Israel, the apologist for this Israeli state, Mr. Dershowitz talks against things in America, such as segregation as existed in the South. He's taken many so-called civil rights cases in America. And yet, Mr. Dershowitz has never found the time to go over and have any big court cases and campaigns against the absolute de facto segregation in Israel between Jews and non-Jews. He hasn't made any campaigns in Israel to to open up the settlements, which are on the West Bank, on stolen land from the Palestinians, to open up those settlements to Palestinians to live there and work there and reside there. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel is a Jewish state, and by the fact that it is a Jewish state, it is organized for the benefits of the Jewish religion and the Jewish people per se. That being the case, that cannot help but reflect on the civil rights of the Palestinians, by the way, who were kicked out and overwhelmed by the massive Jewish conquest through immigration in the country, because they're having to live in a state run by values set by the Jewish religion and dominated by people, obviously, who have a lot of hostility to the Palestinians and the Palestinian way of life and the Palestinian heritage and all the rest of it. In fact, have ethnically cleansed their brothers and sisters from the very land which they lived on, as I said, for thousands of years. So we have an interesting situation where here's this civil rights individual, and Dershowitz really sums up the incredible kind of hypocrisy that exists in the Jewish community today, exists in the media today, exists in academia today, exists in our government policy today. He kind of sums it all up. Another good example is that Dershowitz, of course, has been a huge critic of people like myself. He calls me a supremacist. He calls me a hater. You know, you can go over my material. I mean, there's certainly some spurious quotes you can find in the ADL site where, you know, I've had thousands of interviews and thousands of speeches that have been reported on by newspapers. I can guarantee you a lot of those newspapers got my words wrong and took things out of context. It's very easy when you have millions of words of an individual to try to take something out of context or misquotes of an individual and make him out to be a pretty terrible guy. That's what the ADL does. They don't take the body of my material. And Dershowitz has been a very big critic of me. He's been a critic of anybody who defends the heritage of European Americans. And yet, I have never supported supremacism. I've never supported the idea that we've got to suppress other people. You know, I simply believe that America was created by our people, our founders, were indeed European Americans, and that we should continue the traditions of our fathers, and we have a right to preserve that tradition, and that's, you know, my basic position. You know, I don't think that I've been terribly hateful. I can't say that I've never uttered an intolerant word in my life, and I guarantee you, if most of you fall around any individual in this country with a microphone, as I've been followed around and probably, I mean, literally hundreds of thousands of hours recorded of my speech and different people reporting on my speech, I'm sure you could find an intolerant moment. You know, I'm sure you can find a few. And I'm sure that's true of almost any individual. But overall, I've said it 1,000 times, I've said it 100,000 times, it seems, that I'm opposed to violence. I believe in equal rights for all. At the same time, I do believe in preserving our heritage in this country. Now, that's quite different, I think, what I say and what I believe from the standpoint of a lot of the major Jewish organizations. Now, it's said by members of this group, and they have a very powerful organization that exists all over the United States and all over the world, is a very powerful Jewish organization called Chabad Lubavitch. Chabad Lubavitch. And Chabad Lubavitch is an absolute, and there's no other way to put it, is an absolute hate organization as described and defined by the way the Jewish press describes certain radical right-wing or white groups as hate groups. I mean, this organization is the height of hate. This organization has preached that Gentiles are nothing but the chaff, and the Jews are the kernel of the wheat, that Gentiles have inferior souls, that Gentiles come from the satanic sphere of creation. I'll go a little bit further. Let me give you some interesting quotes by an individual who was one of the leaders of the, in fact, probably the most famous and revered leader of the Chabad Lubavitch movement. And that's the rabbi, Menachem Mandel Schneerson, who's called the Rebbe, and or the Reb. I'm not sure how they pronounce it in the Jewish way. But because I want you to listen very carefully to what Rebbe says, and then I want you to listen very carefully to some words of Alan Dershowitz on this subject. And this is what, and I'm going to quote here from Mr. Braunfeld, who's a Jewish individual, who's written and documented a lot of the quotations of the Shabbat, and their writings are pretty obvious, and you can find them. In fact, a lot of them can be found directly in things like the Jewish Press, which is the largest Jewish newspaper in the United States of America, and a very influential paper among Jews, certainly including the Shabbat movement. Now, here's the quotation from Braunfeld, and here's the quotation that he makes here. Common to both the Talmud and the Halakha, Orthodox religious law is a differentiation between Jews and non-Jews. So the basis of their religious law is differentiation between Jews and non-Jews. The highly revered Rabbi Menachem Mandel Schneerson, who headed the Shabbat movement and wielded great influence in Israel as well as in the United States, explained that, quote, "The difference between a Jewish and non-Jewish person stems from the common expression, 'let us differentiate.' Thus, we do not have a case of profound change in which a person is merely on a superior level. Rather, we have a case of 'let us differentiate between totally different species.' This is what needs to be said about the body. The body of a Jewish person is of a totally different quality from the body of members of all nations of the world. A non-Jew's entire reality is only vanity. It is written, 'And the stranger shall guard and feed your flocks,' Isaiah 61:5. The entire creation of a non-Jew exists only for the sake of Jews. Only for the sake of Jews." Now, I would say that was a little bit supremacist and I think a little bit hateful. Well, the organization that believes in these tenets and who reveres Rabbi Schneerson, the great Rebbe, this organization is also revered by Professor Alan Dershowitz, who wants to spread this organization all across the United States, including to campuses such as Oxford in Britain, Harvard University. He goes on and on about how he wants to spread it up there. In 2005, on November 27, Mr. Dershowitz, in fact, addressed the Chabad Lubavitch emissaries at a convention there. And I'll quote some of Mr. Dershowitz's statements. "Wow, what a gathering. You know, the energy, the love, the Yiddishkeit in this room are beyond belief. Whenever I hear people speak about the diminution of Judaism around the world, I wish they could be here tonight to experience this. 35 years ago, I had the great Zekas Merit to meet the great Rebbe. To me, it was one of the great honors and educational experiences of my life. We cannot rest until there's at least one Chabad Shalach on every major college campus of the world, until every Jewish student feels pride in saying to other Jews and non-Jews on campus, 'Yam Israel Chai.' If you want to come to Chabad, there are no questions asked. And Chabad provides a wonderful model for the entire Jewish community, I think for Israel as well." Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, this is the man who's supposedly opposed to supremacism, supposedly opposed to hate, who believes in civil rights. Is there one word of criticism? He goes and speaks and praises to high heaven the man who says these things. An organization which at its very core believes Gentiles are a different species. I mean, a different DNA, that they are a satanic creation, actually, and there's many of their writings which say that, and some of their leaders who say that. No criticism. In fact, he's there praising the organization and saying that we should set up the organization on campus after campus after campus. Again, it shows the complete duplicity and deception used by Alan Dershowitz and so many of these supremacists, ladies and gentlemen, so many of them. And that's how they operate. They sit there and talk high and mighty how, you know, they are just, you know, they believe in justice and decency and so does Israel. And then they go and they praise and they want to spread Jewish organizations that say that Gentile souls are satanic. Let me give you another example of one of the outspoken Chabad people. And this is kind of interesting. Let me see if I can find here. Boy, it's really amazing. This material is so amazing. A lot of this material, of course, has been exposed by the late, great Israel Shahak, and he was a Jew who I have a great deal of admiration for. When they call me an anti-Semite, it's kind of ridiculous, isn't it, to say that I'm against all Jews, when my book, Jewish Supremacism, is in fact dedicated to a Jewish individual who had the courage to denounce these elements of Jewish extremism. Why do we have so many books, so much material in our country and around the world exposing white racism or extremism, or exposing Palestinian terrorism or extremism, or Muslim fundamentalism? And why don't we have any large number of exposés on Jewish extremism? And Jewish extremism is a major factor. It is a major factor, in fact, in the situation of Israel. And I can argue with you that much of the aspect of the creation of the state of Israel is a creation of Jewish extremism. Again, the Chabad, Lubavitch, is said by themselves to be, and many others, to be the largest Jewish organization in the world. If you take the whole world as a whole, there's no Jewish organization, powerful organization, that exceeds them. Here's another good example. This is from Brownfield again. Among the religious settlers in the occupied territories, the Chabad Hasids constitute one of the most extreme groups. Baruch Goldstein, the mass murderer of Palestinians, was one of them. And by the way, Baruch Goldstein is the fellow that shot down 29 Palestinians in a mosque, mowed them down while they were at prayer. So many Americans don't even know about this incident. And these radical Jewish extremists have made a shrine to Goldstein, and they work very hard to tell us that Goldstein was a moral and a wonderful man, and that his act was a moral and a wonderful act on behalf of the Jewish people. This is the reality, ladies and gentlemen, they don't talk about. I can tell you one thing, that if anyone, whether it be in Germany or America or Palestine, if they had gone into a Jewish synagogue and mowed down, shot down 29 Jews, men, women, and children, while they prayed, that we'd be hearing probably memorials on it every day. There'd be special ceremonies in the White House. There weren't any special ceremonies in the White House, I can guarantee you, for the Palestinians who were struck down in this instance. Anyway, Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg, who I've mentioned as one of the spokesmen of this group, who wrote a chapter of a book in praise of Goldstein and what he did, is another member of the group. An immigrant to Israel from the United States, Rabbi Ginsburg speaks freely of Jews' genetic-based spiritual superiority over non-Jews. Quote, if you saw two people drowning, a Jew and a non-Jew, the Torah says you save the Jewish life first, Ginsburg states. Quote, if every cell in a Jewish body entails divinity, is a part of God, then every strand of DNA is a part of God. Therefore, something is special about Jewish DNA. Now, I want you to listen to this next sentence, ladies and gentlemen, and you can get a full sense of the absolute extremism of Jewish supremacism that I don't think can be equaled in any white movement. I don't think it can be equaled in almost any movement around the world, any ethnocentric or racist or supremacist movement. You've got to listen to this quote. This is directly from Mr. Ginsburg, who has not been denounced. He's not been driven out of the organization. And you can find this quote, in fact, in the Jewish Week. And let me give you this quote. He says, therefore, something special about Jewish DNA. If a Jew needs a liver, can you take the liver of an innocent non-Jew passing by to save him? And he answers, the Torah would probably permit that, for Jewish life has an infinite value. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. I mean, can you imagine? He's basically said, it is okay and it's permissible for a Jew to actually take another Gentile's life. If a Jew needs a liver, to take a liver from a Gentile? Think about that a second. And this is supposed to be a moral act. How immoral can you get? Now the Chabad Lubavitch movement and this whole tradition is a radical tradition of hatred, vicious hatred toward Gentiles. And Mr. Dershowitz came and spoke before these people, praised the great Rebbe, and said that we need to have this organization spread on campuses around the country and around the world. You see, they say one thing among themselves and among their own kind, and they say something quite, again, different when they speak to us. They, you know, and also, I tell you, if you look at Mr. Dershowitz and you really read his reply, for instance, at Harvard, you begin to see also their absolute duplicity and how they twist things around and pervert things. For instance, Mr. Dershowitz basically says that the Jews, that Israel is not based on blood kinship or whatever. And then in the process of the paper, he says specifically that he's, you know, a proud Jew, and Israel should be a Jewish state and so forth. Well, what is a Jew? Mr. Dershowitz is himself an admitted agnostic, somewhere between agnostic and atheist. He's not a believer in the Jewish religion. Specifically, he has stated that, ladies and gentlemen. He is not. So if he's a proud Jew, what does it mean that he's a proud Jew? He doesn't believe in the Jewish faith, right? He doesn't believe in that. You know, I think somewhere along the line it's got to be, you know, his heritage. He sees Jews as part of the heritage, the genetic heritage of the Jewish people. And of course, much of the Jewish population of Israel is in fact, you know, atheist. They are Jews by blood, not by religion. And there's certainly Jews who are culturally different from the Jewish religion and the Jewish people. So it can't be just culture. You know, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the hypocrisy is amazing. He can be a proud Jew, but he doesn't believe in Judaism. So what is he? What is he proud of? And I can tell you, he's proud of his heritage. He's proud of his heritage. And in his books, and he said different things about it. He's had a situation with his family. One of his family members married out. But he has said many times that overall, he's not very happy about it. He kind of faces it reality. But overall, you know, he says that intermarriage is a great threat to the Jewish people. Assimilation is a great threat to the Jewish people. Well, why is assimilation supposed to be so great for the United States of America, but so much of a threat to Jews? Why is assimilation supposed to be so good for Gentiles and non-and Europeans and non-Europeans, but somehow it's something that is deadly to Jews? You know, why is it valuable? Why is the Jewish heritage valuable to preserve on the heritage, but on the earth, but Gentile heritage is not so valuable? I think that every heritage is valuable. I think that every heritage has a right to be preserved. But there's two ways to go about it. You can go about it in the hateful manner of the Chabad, and really in the hateful manner of Mr. Dershowitz, who supports that kind of movement and supports the absolutely hateful, murderous, torturous state of Israel. And by the way, Dershowitz himself supports torture specifically. He calls himself a civil rights lawyer. He should be ashamed of himself, even to be practice law under the bar of the United States of America, to suggest that people should be tortured. In fact, even people should be tortured who are accused of a crime, not even convicted of a crime. That goes against every principle of justice. And my God, I mean, torture is something that's inconceivable to me, and I think any person of justice or decency. You know, you can justify it any way you want. Well, and certain, you can always find some case. Well, there may be a bomb planted, or maybe there's a girl that's, being held in an underground coffin somewhere, and there's a justification for torture. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, terrible things do happen, done by terrible people, but when a society justifies and says it's okay, our legal system says it's okay to torture people who they suspect are, because some bureaucrat says it's okay, every constitutional liberty has gone outside the window. Every constitutional liberty, every right, every freedom. And torture is a horrible thing, ladies and gentlemen. If you've ever had any great pain in your life, you can imagine the terror. Imagine someone being in someone's grip, being tied down, being strapped down, and the most excruciating things being done to your body and to your senses. I mean, excruciating. You can just let your imagination run. In every civilized state, every civilized society has long banned torture. Europeans have banned it for so many, many years. But here's this great civil rights lawyer, Mr. Dershowitz, advocating it. And it's so funny, ladies and gentlemen. It's not funny, really. It's kind of sick. But I'm called the extremist. You know, I'm called the hateful person. You know, I was involved in a Klan organization, you know, almost 30 years ago now. I've always condemned violence, and I've always, and I condemn hateful speech. We can say what we have to say without being hateful, without being denigrative. We can say what we have to say in a decent way, you know, absolutely. And we should defend ourselves from attacks. I spoke out very strongly about the racial attacks against white people, for instance, in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. And I was incensed about the fact that the media didn't condemn this. And the black community didn't condemn these kinds of attacks where whites were singled out for rape and murder and assault. And how the media hid a lot of these things going on. And I was called hateful just by condemning attacks, racial attacks against white people. And I condemn any sort of racial attacks against anyone. I think if whites go out and attack innocent blacks or target them because they're blacks and murder or rob or rape or whatever, that would be wrong. And I would absolutely condemn that. You know, but that we have such a double standard going on in our country today. But I'm called a hater for condemning acts of violence against whites and whites being targeted. But Alan Dershowitz, of course, is never called a hater. He has supported the supremacist state of Israel, the segregated supremacist state of Israel, but he's not called a Jewish supremacist. You know, it's just incredible the double standards that we have going on in the world today. Well, that's my show for today, ladies and gentlemen. I really have enjoyed, as always, being on with you. And I think that you'll find this program very enlightening. And I believe that spreading this show and taking this program to more of our people around America and around the world will help educate people as to what's really going on, this tremendous hypocrisy. And I must say this, that, you know, again, as I've mentioned so many times, you know, there are literally thousands of books available in your bookstores, Amazon.com, exposing the dangers of white supremacism or extremism, of Muslim extremism, of all kinds of extremists, even black extremist organizations. You know, how much coverage, how many reviews, how much attention is given to the Jewish supremacist movement, and how much attention has been given it, considering the fact it's so powerful. The so-called white extremist movements are like the very fringe of society in terms of political power. And the black extremist groups also, you know, do not wield any huge power in society. Even the Mexican groups don't. They're going to, some of the extreme Mexican groups, like La Raza Unida, which means United Race, and those calling for reconquest of America, they're going to be very powerful with the increased, you know, level in our society. But how much do you hear about the Jewish supremacist issue? And yet Jewish supremacists, so many of them are in a position to influence our media, influence our government, the most powerful lobby. The Harvard paper does that. And as I said, I'm continuing to work in that paper. And I'm looking for information and ideas. I don't have the research assistants fluent in English as Mr. Dershowitz has mentioned in his rebuttal or his response to the Harvard paper. I'm writing a response to Dershowitz now, but I do need people to help and support me and to get some material in there. I cannot go over all of Dershowitz's material. If you read his material and you find applicable quotes to show his hypocrisies on these issues, I'm not going to go after a tremendous I'm not trying to go on a fishing expedition. I don't want to engage in an ad hominem attack on Dershowitz as he did to Walt and Mersheimer and as he does to me all the time. But when he says that Israel's not based on blood kinship, I can show that he himself bases his support of Israel on blood kinship. And blood kinship is central to Judaism, it's central to Israel, and it's a reality of life in that country. Dershowitz would be the first to condemn a law in Mississippi not allowing the marriage between a black and a white person, but for some reason Dershowitz hasn't launched any huge campaigns in Israel to change the laws there, and he's not launched any huge campaigns internationally to condemn Israel and to support any boycotts against Israel, as he supported the campaigns, by the way, against South Africa. Again, we have one more example of Jewish supremacist hypocrisy. And that's what this show is all about. This is what DavidDuke.com is about, is exposing this absolute hypocrisy. And very few people will do it, because if you do it today, you're called an anti-Semite. It's funny, though, that these people like the Shabbat Lubavitch that tell us that Gentiles have inferior souls and that the Gentiles are made to serve Jews. That's their purpose on the earth, to serve Jews. And the Jews are simply the DNA of God, and Gentiles are simply something less than that, who were meant to serve Jews. These people, you know, there's no public condemnation, criticism, outrage, picketing. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. And we have people like Mr. Dershowitz, supposedly is such a civil rights individual, going and speaking before these groups, praising the organization, praising the supremacist, the great Rebbe, and supporting spreading this group all over campuses, all over the United States, and indeed all over the world. My book, Jewish Supremacism, is really primarily about hypocrisy. It's about exposing Jewish extremist, Jewish supremacist hypocrisy. And ladies and gentlemen, with your help, we're going to get that book out to more and more people around the world, and we're going to expose this phenomenon. We're going to expose this hateful process that so endangers not just the Palestinian people, but really endangers the European people and endangers all the people of the world. It's not just the Muslims, ladies and gentlemen, that face a real problem here. Not at all. It's not just the Muslims at all. The occupation goes far beyond much of the West Bank. The threat against the Muslim people, there is a threat, you know, absolutely against our people as well. And I'll be with you again tomorrow.
This is David Duke. This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.